David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Edna Keep. Edna is a real estate entrepreneur, coach, trainer, and mentor. She owns $47 million of real estate that has primarily been purchased with other people's money. Edna went from being a 16-year-old single mom living in subsidized housing with her daughter going to subsidized daycare to becoming a multimillionaire, teaching and training others to do the same. Edna, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you very much, David. I'm excited to be here.
So you clearly, based on what I just described, had some major challenges early in your life, and you figured out a way to use business, entrepreneurship, and particularly what you've done with real estate to overcome these challenges. So I wondered if you could tell a little bit of your story.
Sure, I would love to. You know what, David? I think having all the challenges that I did as a young person, my brother actually classified me not too long ago as a chronic underachiever when I was young.
And interesting.
You know, it's made me who I am today, you know, even right down to having a child when I was 16. I'm positive that things wouldn't have turned out for me the way that they have if I wouldn't have went through those challenges. So one of the first things I let people, or I try to tell people, is embrace the challenges you've had, because it's the reason why you're here searching to do something different. And just going through the challenges that a person's had prepares them for the next challenge, because the challenges never go away, do they? You know that yourself, don't you, David?
Oh, sure. They keep coming at you.
Yeah. And the only thing you can do is grow yourself as a person so that you can handle more and more of them. And, you know, it took me a long while to learn that. When I was in school, I didn't care about marks. I didn't care about attending all the time, other than I really liked school because I loved the social part of it, because we were raised on a farm and I loved being around all the people. But it was never about school for me. I liked learning. I found learning easy, but I didn't have that care to become an 80% student. The big marks were not important to me. If I passed, I was happy, and I didn't have a challenge learning what I was interested in. I had a challenge learning what I wasn't interested in. And, you know, I still remember having a conversation with a teacher I had in grade 11 after I became successful. He came to the city one time with one of my brothers, and I said, you know, did you ever think that I would become successful? Because I remember I barely passed his class. As a matter of fact, I'm positive because he liked me, he gave me a 50 just so I could pass. And because I'd study and the interest just wasn't there. And he said to me, you know, Edna, he says, I always felt you'd be successful if you could find something that could corral your socialness. And you know what? Being an advisor, a financial advisor, because I was one for many years in the mutual fund area, I think has allowed me to be social. When I was in some of my earlier jobs, that was always the part I liked most, was visiting with the people, getting to know the people, hanging out with new people, hearing their stories, trying to help them in whatever way I could. But technicalities were not my game. So I learned to work within my strengths. I learned that, you know, I'm never going to be a detail person. I have to surround myself with detail people. I'm never going to be the person who's going to be doing all the day-to-day grind, because that's not me. I fought that my whole life, and I found my spot in life. And I really strongly believe that if I hadn't been through every single challenge, even ones up 2 years ago that I had, 3 years ago, would not bring me to where I am today. So I do look forward to challenges. One of the major ones I had, like I said, was becoming a single mom at 16, suddenly my choices were limited. You know, I wasn't really interested in going to university, so that wasn't a big deal for me. But even jobs, you know, when you only have your grade 12, not everybody wants to look at you. They think you're a chronic underachiever, I guess. And so I started working my way up in different jobs. And it wasn't till I was 36 years old that I became a financial advisor. And I finally knew that I could actually make the money I always dreamed of making, because I always liked the idea. I started working when I was 14 making money, and I loved having money, absolutely loved it, and just always wanted to keep increasing it. One of the stories I was telling one of my students just recently is, you know, I remember when I was making $1,200 a month, I worked as a receptionist at a real estate company, actually. And I remember the girls in the back, they were accounting clerks, they made $1,400 a month. And I remember thinking, holy cow, if I could make an extra $200 a month, I would have the cat by the tail. Does that make sense to you?
Wow.
So yeah, I really do think challenges push a person to grow. Now it's very easy to me to make $1,400 in a phone call. You know, I routinely sell a program for, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a month, and I sign people up to my mastermind programs at $20,000 a year, and so the numbers have totally changed. What hasn't changed, I think, is my quest for personal development. I love growing as a person. I love doing different things. I can't just do the same thing over and over again. I love meeting new people. Love hearing their stories. Love seeing how we can work together. Different stuff like that.
What was the trigger that brought you into real estate?
You know, I was advising people at the time on life insurance and mutual funds, and I realized that my income was entirely based on the ups and downs of the market. If the market was up, I was making good money. If the market was down, I wasn't. Much as we would teach people to buy when the markets were down, they just didn't. I think it's a chronic thing within the mutual fund market. So my husband and I just started looking for different ways to supplement our income, start adding a different stream of income, because I was making good money at it. I enjoyed working with the people. And so we thought, well, you know what, maybe we'll buy a rental house or two and just see if that could be a way to supplement our income. And, you know, within a very short period of time, actually within 2 years of being introduced to the power of real estate, I sold my financial planning practice and went into real estate full time. Now, I still financial advised, just in a different market. I went into the exempt market world and I still gave people financial advice. I still find that I give people financial advice all the time. I just wrap it around real estate nowadays. So the other thing too, and I think a lot of women get told this when you're young, you're told you're bossy because you're always telling people what to do. Well, now I get paid to tell people what to do and they actually like it. So that's another thing too, you know, find what works for you and then make the most of it.
Right, which is what you said before, learn who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Learn who you are and keep focusing on what you like to do and move in that direction, because, you know, like I said, if I hadn't had the challenges we had in the last 3 years, and what we did is we bought a business that was more for my husband. And in the long run, it just really devastated us financially, because it turned out not to be anything like we bought. And so it forced me, and at the same time, the markets kind of went down in our area in the real estate world. So all of a sudden, the cash flow, which was about $8,000 a month from the real estate alone, dropped. And we were funding our home building business. And, you know, with the thought that, oh, this is going to turn around. And it really forced me into thinking, you know, I need another way to make money. And so I started focusing on a third income stream, which was coaching people in the real estate world about raising money for purchasing real estate. Because our success story kind of is, when we started in 07, we owned nothing but our own home and didn't understand real estate. And within 18 months, we owned 50 doors, cash flowing us $5,000 a month. And people kept asking me, Edna, how the heck did you do that so fast? Like, we've taken the same classes as you. We hung around in the same circles. What's the difference? And I realized that my success as a financial advisor really helped me. It helped me be able to talk to investors and show them how real estate could fit into their portfolio. So after, I don't know, dozens of times of being asked that, I realized that people were needing advice in that area. And that's actually how my programs came about, is just so many people were asking me. And that's how my mastermind started too, is people had asked me and I said, well, you know what? I'm going to teach you. And I brought a group of 9 people out to the basement in my house, and I presented the opportunity of joining my mastermind. At that time, it was $15,000 a year. And I had 7 of the 9 people join immediately that day. And I've never looked back. And now I realize that, you know, everything in my life has led me to this point because this is what I love to do. I was meant to do this and I love it.
Mm. Now, is using other people's money in real estate investing that unusual?
Well, you know what? It's taught a lot to use other people's money when you're investing. For example, first of all, the banks will usually loan you 75 to 80% loan to value on a property that you buy. So that is taught all the time. And then we're taught to bring in investors and maybe do a joint venture with them bringing in the capital and us being the working partners. But where it falls down, I realized in the training, is they tell you about it. I know my favorite class of all was creative financing because it just really resonated with me. But what they don't teach you is how to do that, how to talk to investors, how to structure deals so that investors are happy and you're happy, how to keep your investors. You know, we've built our $47 million portfolio with 25 investors that just keep repeat investing with us again and again. And that's another key. If you got to, you know, chase and be working with 1,000 investors, well, it's pretty difficult. So if you can get the right investors, and that's a key point, finding the right investors, and they, you know how to treat them, you know how to report to them, you know how to pay them, you know how to keep them happy, you get those same people investing with you again and again. And then that's, again, where the referrals come from. And I think that was the place where a lot of the real estate training fell down, is people were aware of using other people's money. But what I teach people, and I think this is something that people really need to realize, is, you know, you don't just get to use other people's money. What we do is we create massive value for the use of that money. And if they can put that equation together, they can have a very, very successful business.
Mm. And understanding that you're creating massive value for others, and I think this probably applies in almost any kind of business, whether it's in real estate where you're providing massive value to investors, or if you are in another kind of business where you're providing massive value for your customers. How do you learn where the sweet spot is, where that massive value can be delivered? Is that something that one can figure out on one's own? Or is there a way that you can get help to understand where the sweet spot really is and where the most leverage is?
You know, this is one thing that I really believe in strongly. I started working with a coach in 1999. I have never been without a coach since, including now. So I think we can learn a certain amount on our own, but having an outside perspective, I think really, really makes a difference. You know, I've had other people point out my strengths that I just thought everybody could do because it comes so easy to me. Like, I find it so easy to talk to just about anybody. You know, I just do. And I never realized that was a strength till I remember taking a Dale Carnegie class, and they were teaching us how to stack. Hi, how are you? What's your name? What is your, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I went, really? People don't know that? You know, and it was like, I realized then that my ability to talk to anybody was actually a strength. And, you know, and as opposed to being in school where you're told to shut up all the time, and that's not a strength, that you got to learn how to learn and get 80s and 90s on your tests, that's the strength. I realized then that, you know, nobody had ever really pointed that out before. Nobody recognized that as a strength. And it wasn't until I had a few people tell me, point those strengths out, that I really started to recognize them as strengths. And that's one of the things that I work with my coaching students, is helping them identify their strengths and then helping them build a team that they can work within their sweet spot.
Mm. So speaking of coaching, when do you think it's beneficial to have that one-on-one helping relationship? And when do you think it's beneficial to be in a group situation? Because obviously, if you run group programs, you know the power of doing something in a group.
You know, I do. And I actually offer group programs and one-on-one. And this is my own personal thought on it. If you're not really sure what you want to do, just get into a group program. Take something that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg and learn. And, you know, I've had people join my program and they've said to me at the end, you know what? I just don't have the passion for that you do. but I'd like to be an investor with you because I learned enough to know that what you're doing is awesome. And so I've had people do that. So that's where I think a group program comes in. If you're not 100% sure, get in, spend some time on it. You'll learn the ins and outs and you'll learn if it's something that's fitting for you. And then where the one-on-one coaching comes from is if they want to take that, they've learned the basics, and they really want to scale it and scale it fast, I think that's the point where a one-on-one coach can really, really help.
Mm. And in looking for somebody as a coach, what are the characteristics that would make a coaching relationship really successful?
Well, my criteria is that the person I'm coaching with has to have done what I'm trying to do. For example, for 3 years, I studied with a coach who was primarily network marketing, but his background was real estate, but he'd really nailed the internet marketing. And I wanted to learn the internet marketing area. So I followed him for 3 years and I learned massive, massive value. And he was the one that he really pushed for people. He says, never ask, never say, how can I make more money? Always ask, how can I provide more value? Because value equals money. And so by getting online, and I do little training slots quite often, I do free video series, I do a Monday morning mindset half hour and a Friday morning free real estate coaching. And that's where the value comes in. And that's what gets people to start following you and realizing if they're even interested in what you're doing. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Okay.
It definitely does. I was wondering, when you're in a group situation with peers, is there anything that you find is particularly counterintuitive or unexpected about the value that you receive from your peers?
Well, I always tell my students, most of the time, we can't see the forest for the trees because we're involved. We're right in the middle of our messes every day. And other people looking from the outside in can see that little nugget that you haven't been able to see. It's maybe an opportunity that's right under your nose, and you can't see it because you're so involved in the day-to-day aspects of running your business. So I think so peers can actually point that out a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And are there step-by-step methods that you have found help you to get the kind of support you need when you're either in a coaching situation as the person being coached or in a peer support situation?
Yes. You know what? I'm a real big believer in one-on-one coaching. Like I've done lots of group trainings to see if it's something I'm interested, something I want to pursue. But once I've decided I want to pursue it, I get right one-on-one coaching. Because in a group situation, as much as there's a lot of support and they can help you point out certain things, your one-on-one coach will be the one that'll work with you to bring that to fruition. Right down to accountability, showing up when you're not wanting to show up, pushing you, calling you on your BS when you go, well, yeah, I can't do that. Or you're saying things like, I can't. And it's like, yeah, you can do anything you want. Or I'm not that kind of person. It's all learnable. Sales is a learnable skill. Real estate is learnable. Everything's learnable if you decide to go out and do it. And I do think that a good coach can help you shortcut that if they've done it themselves. So that's a big one for me. I want them to have done what I'm looking to do, because I don't really need a lot of accountability. I need direction. And if I'm following somebody who's done what I'm trying to learn, I know that they can teach me in a shorter time than if I were to go out and try to do it on my own.
That makes sense. And then what do you think successful leaders are doing to get guidance that others aren't?
They're always open to opportunities. They're always open to listen, and they're willing to spend money on themselves. I think the best money you can ever spend is on educating yourself, because, you know, you can lose every business on earth for whatever reason, you know, the markets change or whatever. Look at all the real estate investors in the US that lost their shirts and shorts back in 2007, 2008. You know, the successful ones just went on, did something different, because you can't take away what you've learned. And what you learn is applicable to so many different businesses out there.
Yep. Great point. Edna, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
You know, I always have to talk about Ray and Jessica Higdon. They were my last coaches. They're not the ones I'm working with right now, because I felt like I learned what I need to from them, which was getting my online presence. And they're awesome. You know what? In 2009, Ray used to be a real estate investor, and that's how I connected with him. And in 2009, he was flat broke, busted, lost everything in the real estate world. Everything he'd built up was gone. And he decided to go back and start pursuing network marketing. And you know, by providing value, he does daily videos to this day, and now training people to do the same thing. He built himself up within, I think it was by the end of 2009, he was making $50,000 a month. That's providing massive value. So that guy's an expert in smashing plateaus and teaching other people how to too. And it starts with self-belief. What do you say when you talk to yourself? And then being around the right-minded people and actually doing what you're taught, not just learning it and letting it go. He used to say, whenever I go to a seminar, I bring back massive notes. He used to tell us, the notes that you're taking at my seminar, those are uncashed checks. You go back and you share those with your audience and you'll make money. There's just no doubt. So I think one of the biggest things I learned from him, as I was always trying to figure out how to do, not copy everything that I learned from people. And what he taught me is, no, you copy everything you learn from people. And then it's going to be different coming out of your mouth regardless. And I think that was a big struggle that I had, was just realizing that, you know, if he taught me how to do a video, I could go home and teach my group how to do a video. I didn't have to do a different twist. I didn't have to send them to Ray. I could teach them. He said, you guys will reach people that I can never reach. So go out and share what you can. Whatever you learn, share it.
Right. And just integrate it into your own practice.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's great advice. And then what can we look forward to in the near future from you?
You know, I have a free training series that I offer to people where they can get in and really learn for free if real estate investing might be a way that they want to go. Because a lot of people say, well, I just don't have the money to get into real estate, because it is take money to get into real estate. But I show people how to get into real estate with none of their own money. And they can be making cash in very short order. It's not all long-term investing, and it's not fix and flips or wholesales. I like long-term buy and holds, but there's a way to make money on those right away too. And my free training teaches people that, and they can find that at training.ednakeep.com.
That's great. And for those that just want to get in touch with you and follow you, what's the best way in addition to your free training?
You know what? They can just reach out to me on my website and sign up, become part of my mailing list. And that's just at edna@ednakeep.com. I keep it simple.
That's great. Well, Edna, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great discussion about the challenges that you faced in your life, how you've overcome them, how you, in particular, I love what you said about learning who you are and making sure that you play to your strengths and provide value to other people at the same time, because that's really what works as an entrepreneur and as a business leader. So thank you for sharing your experiences with our audience.
You are most welcome, David. Thanks again for having me.
My pleasure. My guest today has been real estate entrepreneur and coach, Edna Keep. Thank you again, Edna, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.